This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We got a delicious, crisp cooked steak. We overdo it just a little bit for that nice burnt at home taste. Ted's.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And we are joined by Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted, a prominent businessman in Beverly Hills, a prominent businessman in Southern California. Man, we had a scare today, obviously, Ted, with the terrible, terrible events in New York City.
I want to go on record, too, Phil, though, and say I don't think that that was terrorist-inspired. I think it's a tragic, tragic event. I think we got bigger fish to fry. I think what we've got is a problem in America with the possibility of terrorist activity targeting restaurants, bars, places like that. I mean, I am a symbol of prosperity, as other successful business people are symbols of prosperity. Why should I be a target?
And well, we talked about this, you and I, right after 9/11. You were talking about Israel, and
that's right.
And how they in Israel, how they conduct hand searches of people that go into bars and into restaurants.
That's right. So I heard you mention it on your program too, that they conduct searches of people. I don't even want to use the T word. I just want to say to be safe. It's better to be safe than sorry. And that's why we looked at the situation in Israel, and we looked at a lot of other situations around the world. Greece is another example. Italy is another example. And we have decided to institute a hand search of our patrons at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Now, it's one thing to say Israel. It's another thing to say Greece or Italy. This is America, though, Ted.
I understand that, Phil, but things have changed. And I would be the very first one to remind you that things have changed. We're not the same people we used to be, Phil. We are different people, and it is a different time. The hand search that we're conducting, though, is not an obtrusive. It is not an intrusive, I should say. It is conducted in a private office, in my office. The hand search is conducted by me. It is conducted. There is always a witness present so that we don't have any uncomfortableness from our customers. But hand search them I will do, because I will not. And the United Innkeepers of America, which is the parent organization, I will not give in to terrorists. So what I do is essentially do that in the office. And
well, like I say, that's a very, very bold, bold move. And I understand that, like you said, you're doing this yourself.
That is correct. I'm the owner of the restaurant, and I wouldn't disrespect my customers to have a maitre d' or a hostess do this.
So you are hand-searching people as they come in.
That is correct.
Have you had any problems with this?
The problem doesn't lie with the people. It a lot of times lies with the clothing, loose-fitting pants, dresses. That includes both men and women. That's where a lot of times something can be hidden.
Well, tell us how you go about this. So you go about searching individuals?
No, generally men and women. And if they're married, I have the man and the woman come into my office together so that there is nothing improper. The man, if it's a single woman or a single man, I will have one of my busboys come in and witness the frisk. So in other words, even if you're a single woman or a single man being frisked or hand searched by me, there's always a busboy or one of the dishwashers who is there to observe. So again, there's nothing improper.
All right, so you have a witness, and this is in your office?
This is done in my office before they go into the restaurant to sit down, yeah.
Okay, so take us through this.
Well, like I said, I have them come in to witness this. The hand search is really not a hand search at all, Phil. It is a visual search, which is also a great cause for people to feel secure. Basically, I will have the man and the woman or the individual come in. I sit at my desk. They turn their back to me. Then they lower their pants or their underwear and lift their skirt and pull down their pantyhose. And then I simply ask them to slowly bend over and pick up the quarter that has been placed in front of them. As they bend over, I can see if there's anything, plastic, pipe bomb, anything there, a derringer, a bag of anthrax. You can see as they bend over if there's anything hidden. And as they do this, I take the opportunity, while they're doing this, Phil, we can kill two birds with one stone, I take the opportunity to read the evening specials, whether it's our award-winning Porterhouse Steak or the delicious halibut, it's all great, at Ted's in Beverly Hills. But I will not give in to terrorists.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is our number.
Some customers have said having that kind of a search done is almost as good as our deep-fried calamari, Phil. So people are not
uncomfortable with that.
No, they're not.
All right, Ted Bell is with us. You bring people into your office, and you do a search of them while they're naked.
They're not completely naked, no.
But they've pulled their pants down and their under things down, and then you've placed a quarter in front of them.
That is correct.
And they bend over and pick up the quarter, and what is the point?
The point, Phil, is so that, and I want to be as family friendly as I can.
Go ahead.
When you bend over like that, things open up.
Okay, so that way you can see whether they've got anything on them.
That is correct. And I will tell you something, Phil.
You know, let me interrupt you for a minute, Ted. This seems awfully intrusive. Even
well, I'm the owner of the restaurant. I wouldn't have anybody else do it.
Even if it is just you doing it, it seems intrusive.
I thought about that. I asked my wife about it. She was very concerned, but I said, who else are you going to have do this? What other kind of a search are you going to do? And I got to tell you something. This is going to sound, maybe this is wrong of me to say, but a lot of times we'll have a young man and a young lady come in who are just dates. You know, he's taking her out. This is an icebreaker.
What is an icebreaker? To have him with her pants down and his pants down, and they're bending over picking up a quarter.
Yes. And I understand your concern. But it's a tremendous icebreaker for a young man.
Isn't it potentially embarrassing for a young woman, especially who's out on a date with a young man, to have to pull her pants down and bend over in your office so you can search them?
Again, Phil, it's never just a woman by herself. Well, if it is a woman by herself, one of our busboys or one of our dishwashers is there to make sure everything is proper. If it's a man and a woman together, then they obviously have each other. So I think what you're trying to read it, let's face it, Phil, my customers enjoy their dinner experience a whole lot more when they know that the patrons beside them are not holding some kind of an explosive, some kind of an anal explosive.
Well, how often do you see that, man?
I don't know. I don't know how it's done.
Here's my question for you, Ted. You're conducting a search. It's a visual search.
It is a visual search.
They bend over and so you can see up the rear end or whatever it is. Why would anybody want to put up with this?
Well, why would anybody want to put up with the best porterhouse steak in the city? Why would anyone want to put up with the best fish in the city?
Well, wait. Nobody is going to deal with that, okay, just to eat at your restaurant.
Well, once they come into my restaurant, Phil, they as you know, if you're in a man's place of business, you have to do what he says.
Well, they could leave.
I'm sorry?
They could leave. They don't have to do what you say.
Well, if someone who knows they're going to be searched leaves, I'd say that that is extremely suspicious. And then, of course, I am obligated to call the Beverly Hills Police, at which point I would think that those people would be in a world of hurt. Most people, if they know it's good for them, will submit.
If a person's in your, if I'm in your restaurant, I come in, would you do this to me?
I have to do it to everybody, Phil. Yes, I would. But because you are a celebrity, I would certainly not cause you to bend over that far. I don't know what I would do, but I would.
And my wife, too?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
So my wife and I come into your restaurant, we go into your office, I drop my pants and my underwear, and my wife does the same thing.
That is correct.
And then we bend over and pick up the quarter that you've placed in front of us.
That is correct. And I conduct a visual search at that time.
And read me the specials for the evening.
That is correct.
Women would say this is sexual harassment.
Well, it's not sexual because I'm doing it with the men, too. It's very clinical. When you are there with a man and a woman and you're trying to get through the process and you're saying to the man, could you move your sack to the right or whatever, and you're giving them the specials, it's clinical. There's nothing sexual about it at all. And I can tell you right now, Phil, we've had some 120 people submit to this just so they can sit out at Ted's and have our great porterhouse steak. For the female customers, if you can squat, and, you know, there's a lot of different...
Okay, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. All kinds of different businesses, all kinds of different security matters. But this is the owner of a restaurant conducting a search, a visual search, before you sit down in his restaurant. And a lot of things, as he said, have changed since 9/11. But I don't know that you can legally force people to submit to this kind of a search where he has the man and the woman, the husband and the wife or the date or whoever. They walk into his office, they drop their pants and underwear and bend over to pick up a quarter. Whatever that means. And then he conducts a visual search and if I'm quoting him correctly, and gives them the evening specials. Says it isn't sexual harassment because it isn't sex. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And I got Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills with me on the line, and I want to make this statement in case you just tuned in and you want to talk about the tragedy in New York today, the plane crash, because we didn't mention it at the outset, although I did say I do not believe it has anything to do with terrorism. We'll get around to talking about it, okay, but we're not going to gas bag it and beat it to death like every other talk show in America has already done ad nauseum till you can't stand it any longer, and we're certainly not going to speculate that it was terrorism when we don't believe that it was for 1 minute. So how about them apples? 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell is with us.
No, I think that's a great statement that you made, but about me protecting my restaurant.
Well, I know you're protecting your restaurant by searching people. You're conducting a hand search of everybody that comes into your steakhouse, having them bend over with their bend over with their pants down.
That is correct.
And then make like they're picking up a quarter.
That is correct, and there's nothing unconstitutional about it. And Phil, the public likes the fact that there's extra security happening. I have only one complaint.
And what is that?
We had a young couple come in. I took them to my office for the what we call a quarter search, and the woman didn't want to. And I told her, no bend over, no steak. And you want to know something?
What?
She, and I'm saying this seriously, she dropped her panties and went...
And picked up the quarter.
Well, you don't literally have to pick it up. You don't literally have to pick it up.
1-800-449-8686. Naomi on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Naomi.
What kind of a restaurant are you running?
I have a steakhouse, ma'am.
Yeah, you have a steakhouse, but you're a sick puppy. You don't do that to people. That's degrading.
So I'm supposed to let my restaurant blow up?
No. As a matter of fact, you don't have to let your restaurant blow up, but if everybody went around thinking the way you're thinking, we'd be dropping our pants everywhere we go, wouldn't we?
Well, no. I don't know about you, Naomi, and what you do in your personal life, but what I'm asking is a search, which I conduct so as not to... I'm the owner of the restaurant.
Yeah.
So I'm conducting the search.
And what are you telling me? And you mean to tell me that you have people that are going in there and your restaurant, does it have a blooming business?
It does have a
blooming
business.
Are you telling me that everybody that's going in there are dropping their pants and you're running a bunch
of... I'm telling you that everybody that goes into my restaurant, whether they like it or not, will drop their pants because
really?
I will...
And
yeah,
let me ask you this. If you had to go somewhere and somebody said, that's what you had to do, would you do it?
I'm Ted Bell. I don't do that.
Oh, well, then you're special, right? Because you're special.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
No,
because
I'm
you're
not,
Ted
no.
Brown, you're special?
No,
well,
I'm
not,
no
Emmy, and I'm special,
I'm not saying
too.
I'm... Well, no, because
I have a suggestion.
I have $22 million, Naomi. I doubt that you've even imagined that much money.
No, I don't have
$22
million, and
I
wouldn't add to your
millions. I'm Ted Bell. I don't bend over and do searches.
I wouldn't add to your millions because that's showing me that you're a sick person.
I'm sick because I have $22 million? How is that sick to have $22 million?
The only suggestion I have for you is that maybe, just maybe, you stop and think and have on Thanksgiving... your family over, have them drop their pants and eat your
I don't need to
quarter.
Do that because they are not obviously terrorists, but I don't know about...
Oh, really?
And I don't mean
oh, really?
Any offense.
Who
I don't...
says? Who says? You? What makes
yes,
you so
because I know that,
special?
But I don't know about
you're
you.
Full of it, buddy.
I don't know about you,
you
Naomi.
You take your porterhouse steaks and shove them.
Well,
you're not
you
worth
you
even talking
like
to.
It,
goodbye.
You don't have to, but once you come into my restaurant, you've got to do it. You've got to strip.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So once they walk into Ted's of Beverly Hills...
Yeah, without question.
They're going to, so they, if I set 1 foot into your restaurant.
You have, once you come into my restaurant, you have given your assent that you will do the quarter search. And what that essentially means is You come back to the office. I then will force you to, I don't force you to, but I have you bend over. I then, you have to drop your pants. I then do a cursory exam, and I also, as I say, give the specials.
And I can't do anything about this?
Well, you can leave, but if you leave, then I do have to report you to the police, because that means that you're acting in a suspicious way. And, Phil, again, this isn't anything that I'm going to discuss with anybody. This isn't anything that I'm going to do with anybody. This isn't anything that I'm going to, you know, have a long, drawn-out conversation about. What this basically means is you're going to do it or else. So you come into my restaurant, you go into my office, you drop your pants, you bend over, and you pick up that quarter.
You know what, Ted? I think what that means is that I'm not going to eat at your steakhouse any longer.
Well, of course you will.
Why would I do that?
Because it's the best food. It's absolutely the best steak.
I don't care. I don't need to eat a steak that bad. I don't need to...
That's what you say, but you know that you're lying. So that...
I'm not lying. I do not need to...
Yeah, you are lying. Anybody that says that's lying. Look at Phil. There's room in a woman's pantyhose between herself and whatever to store explosives. Okay, there's room to store explosives.
Fine. I mean, women may be bringing in explosives, they may not. But I am not going to come into your restaurant ever again to eat a steak if that means I got to drop my pants and bend over to pick up a quarter so you can look up my rear end and make sure I'm not going to blow your restaurant up.
Nope, you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
Yes, you are, because you know you love my steaks.
Yes, I love your steaks, but...
Okay, so you're going to be coming in.
No, I will not.
Well, I don't believe you. Nobody else does either. You'll come into my steakhouse because it's the best steak in town. You know, see, right now you're being suspicious.
What is suspicious about me saying to you, I will not eat in your restaurant, I will not eat your lousy steaks because of the fact that I will not allow myself to be searched like that?
Because you're a liar.
How am I a liar?
Because you love my steaks.
You know, I'm not getting anywhere with you, man.
That's exactly right. So just bend over. Shut up and bend over.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
You are a sex cookie. And let me tell you something. The little hole beneath your nasal needs to get used for something else.
You also need
to get laid, sir.
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
You need to get laid. You get off our women speaking. Every time they speak, you make these horny little noises.
No,
you are a sex unit.
Let me tell you something. It's not horny. I have got pain every time I hear a woman talk.
Yeah, you know what? Because you need to go to the counseling and get over the woman who's an alcoholic who licked your face. You're an idiot.
What about that, man? You had a trauma as a kid. A woman, a drunken mother of a friend of yours, walks in a bra and panties and licks your face with alcohol in her breath.
One of the greatest moments of my youth, and I need to go to a head shrinker?
And you still use it today to abandon women. You think women are sick because of the one drunk broad. Get over it, you idiot.
I don't think it's sick. I think you talk too much. And I will...
I'm going to have to ask you to put that...
Can you listen to your lips lately, Larry? They haven't shut up since the show started.
Because I'm a man who has been at the forefront of morality in America. Trauma?
You're not a man.
You're not a man. You call that trauma? That's the one good masturbation fantasy that...
Okay, I don't need to hear any of that, all right?
I'm sorry.
You're moral?
Yes, sir.
Then you don't talk about that on my show.
Amen.
Listen, oh, God. Amen. Go ahead, Susie. Go ahead. Lay the torture on. Keep talking. Keep talking to the blood. Here she goes.
The bottom line is,
oh,
you need to get counseling over your woman. And your mother? Why bring your mother into it?
Yeah.
Oh, make those noises for me. Get up on it, sir.
Because it hurts.
What is so painful about listening to a woman?
I gotta bet you one thing. Hey, Susie, I'm going to ask you a question. I already know the answer to this. Do you have a college education?
Absolutely.
There you go. That's what I do. The mouth doesn't quit.
You know, what's the story with you, man? You know the women that have spoken on behalf of greatness in this world?
Here's Mr. Henry being politically correct and so liberal.
How much money do you make a year?
I had a tough year.
Oh, that's right, because you talk too much. Maybe you ought to get behind a computer or get with people and start working for a living.
How much do you make, Larry?
I happen to manage. I'm the night manager at the print shop.
How much did you make last year, Larry?
Why is it any of your business?
Because
you're the night manager at a print shop and you have to keep putting 25 cents in every minute.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
And the voice of Ted Bell was performed by me in that last bit, and I couldn't help but laugh through, like, the first 15 minutes of it with that whole bend over and pick up the quarter thing. You know, it happens. Sometimes it's just so funny, I can't stand it any longer, and so I had to laugh. Who was that lady? Oh, she was calling from Tampa? Anyway, well, I mean, come on. Drop your pants, bend over and pick up a quarter, and I'm giving you the specials. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. That's how funny I think we are. You know, I listen to a lot of radio during the week. Not that I want to, but I feel that I should to know what's going on out there. I never laugh once. And then I come in and I log on to philhendryshow.com and I check out some of the classic audio bits, some of the sound bits, whatever the hell Bill Kiesling's calling it this week, and I listen to them and I laugh my ass off. Now, I'm serious. I want entertainment as much as anybody else. I flip on the radio, I dial around, I try to get a chuckle from somebody, and all I do is just, like, cringe. Because it's lame, and it's tired, and it's stale, and it sucks. And then I come in, I listen to the stuff off of our show, and I laugh. Now, maybe it's because I just happen to be mentally deranged, sick, warped, retarded, stupid, lame myself. Could be any number of things. But the only time I ever flip the radio on or hear any radio show during the week that makes me laugh is when I log on to philhendryshow.com. And you can, too. Just get your backstage pass. You can hear all of our, what is it this week? Classic audio bits. By the way, I got to tell you, I'm having a little bit of a, well, I don't even want to say anything. Just log on to the website, and don't forget to check out Phil Hendry Polls America, because there's going to be a really extra special interesting question tomorrow on Phil Hendry Polls America. Let me tell you what our question is today on our website, just as soon as I can get to our website. And every day we do ask a question of you fine, intelligent, erudite, bookish people, you people who are so informed as to what's going on. And today's question is simply this. Should we start sending in the ground troops? Should we start just pumping in 50, 60,000, 100,000 American troops into the ground there in Afghanistan? Yes or no? Let's see how you voted. And computer a little bit slow today. Pardon me. You voted 63% yes, 37% no. And I know why you voted that way, because you thought that's what I wanted you to vote. That's the only thing wrong with this poll. Everybody just votes the way they figure Phil would vote. Well, guess what? My vote is no. I'm with the 37% crowd. No, I don't think we should. I saw a thing on CNN yesterday that was a filmed history, a documentary history of Afghanistan leading up to the Soviet defeat in 1989. And they had some film footage that was absolutely gruesome. I mean gruesome. They had shots of these Mujahideen fighters up in the mountains and Soviet trucks racing down the highway trying to make it through the pass, gasoline trucks, armored personnel carriers, racing because they were under fire from these Taliban. And finally, one of them got hit with a shoulder. Was it a Stinger missile, the ones that are on the shoulder? One of them got hit by a missile. And you see this thing explode, and you see the tank commander crawl out of there. The guy doesn't have any use of his arms. And now he's just crawling down the side of this hill with a documentary photographer following him every step of the way. Now, here's a guy that's just about ready to die. And he's looking up at this photographer and saying, what the hell? Where did you come from? Now, the guy's all bloody. He can't use his arms. He's pushing himself down the hill on his rear end. And these Mujahideen come up, about four of them, and just start popping him. Just start capping him. And this all covered by this guy with the camera. Now, whoever the hell he was, it was absolutely gruesome. Whatever the Russians did in Afghanistan, you say to yourself, did they really deserve that? I don't know. But that's what, if you've got to see this documentary that I saw this past weekend to answer the question, do we want to commit American troops to the ground in Afghanistan? The answer to that question is believe me, just trust me when I tell you this, it's no. I don't care how big and badass you think we are. What we're doing right now is the best possible thing. Now we'll get over here to this plane crash at Kennedy today, which was a horrible and tragic event, but there's absolutely no evidence linking it to any terrorist act, other than a lot of speculation. And man, they've been speculating all over the place there on CNN and on Fox and every other knucklehead. Well, I hear there was an explosion. The FBI's, the FBI said there was an explosion. That was the thing. I heard that this morning about 8 o'clock. Good old Paula, man, came on and she says there was an the FBI says there was an explosion. Then, after they have the press briefing from the White House, and a guy there, Ari Fleischer, says, no, nobody said there was an explosion. The FBI never said any such thing. Then she's got to come back and say, and the FBI says there was no explosion. So you heard it here first. You heard it here wrong first, and then you heard it here right, probably 852nd. We're CNN. So they find the cockpit voice recorder and some other things. It was horrible. It's a horrible, terrible thing for the city of New York. But it was a plane crash. Plane crashes happen. I heard somebody today on the radio, and I heard the woman said this, we're not flying, and we're not using the mail. But other than that, we have great faith in America's fighting men. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but I have absolutely no fear of flying in an airplane right now. Maybe I should have been afraid prior to September the 11th, and maybe I was just dumb and slap-happy. I got no problem. It's a horrible thing, a plane crash. Terrible if the engine falls off, there's some mechanical malfunction. But it's not going to keep me from flying. Let me ask you a question. If you fly, and now you're not going to fly, well, that's just you got a problem. I think you got a psychological problem. But if you're flying and you're not going to fly for a very finite time and then you'll fly again, exactly at what point are you going to fly again? What do they need to do to make you feel better? Here's a good question. Here's a great topic. If you want to do topic radio, what do they got to do? I think they got to do the Ted Bell bend over and pick up a quarter search. I think from now on, everybody that goes into an airport needs to drop their pants, bend over, pick up an imaginary quarter, and Ted Bell will go up your rear end with a flashlight and, oh yeah, give you the specials on the halibut. That way we know for sure. Will that make you feel better? What will make you feel? Janice is nodding her head. That's what she wants. Craig won't fly until they have ejection seats, so that when the hijacker's there, you just push the button and he goes through a roof. That's great, Craig. What are they going to say? They're going to say, well, now we've got it all figured out. The plane fell off because the engine mounts were old and it improperly fell off. Oh, okay, great. Are you going to screw them on better now? Yes, we will. Okay, I'll fly again. Well, where were you the other 586 million times that that's happened? Because there's never going to be a day, never will there be a day, unless it's like 300 years into the future and Jean-Luc Picard is flying the Starship Enterprise, there will never be a day when they'll be able to look you in the eye and say, it is now absolutely safe to fly. So, good riddance. Nice knowing you. Have a good life. You won't be flying again. Now, the rest of you who just don't want to fly ever again, well, you shouldn't have been flying in the first place. You don't belong on an airplane. Because if you're that nervous, Amtrak's fantastic. I took the train from Miami to L.A. just for kicks because I wanted to see the countryside roll by and I wanted to have this whole, you know, I wanted to have this grand American John Dos Passos, John Steinbeck, Jack Kerouac kind of a thing. And I was watching the countryside go by and I was looking at the mountains as they crested in the distance in the far west and we went over the Pecos River. It was very Americana. It was great. And let me tell you something. We had a great time. I rode first class because, station paid for it. Anyway, and the food was great and had a blast, man. So I suggest you take the train. Now, it'll take you what ordinarily would be a four-hour air flight. It'll take you about 4 days, but I'm sure that you've got plenty to do. No, actually, it took us, I left Miami, seriously, on a Tuesday afternoon, and I got into L.A. on a Friday morning at 6 a.m. So what is that? Two and three-quarter days. That's how long it takes you to go cross-country on Amtrak, Miami to L.A. I don't know about anything else. So if you don't mind the time, don't fly. Nobody says you got to fly. The other great thing about taking a train, you can have sex on the train. You have a little berth there, you close the door, close the window, and you can actually have relations with the one you love or just met. What about that? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here's Brett. Brett, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Good. I just wanted to call and say we love what you do, man. Absolutely love your show.
Thank you.
It's of comedy left on AM radio.
What'd you think of that whole bend over and pick up a quarter thing? Did you like that?
What's that?
Never mind.
Yeah, actually, I did. Oh, okay. Yeah, I did like the bend over and pick up the quarter.
Right.
I like most of the Ted Bell stuff. But my absolute favorite skit that you ever did was Collinbone, Let the Healing Begin.
That was pretty mental, yeah.
Yeah, that one was actually the first day that I listened to you, and from that point on, I said, you got me.
Great. Thank you very much.
No, I really appreciate you, Bill. Right. Keep it up, man.
No problem, brother. See you later. Bye. Eric, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I just want to agree with you. I mean, you are so right about people who say that they're afraid to fly, they're never going to fly again. That's crazy. It's never been a safer time now to fly than it ever has been before September the 11th. It's never been safer. My mother has flown. I've flown. I've gone to West Palm Beach. I've gone up to New York. I've gone to New Jersey. It's never been safer. I have no problems with it. I don't know why people are so scared.
Are people afraid of you when they see you? No, I'm just kidding, Eric. So, yeah, I don't know what it is. It's a, it's just that, well, people are afraid of flying anyway, man. So give them one good reason to say, I'll never get on a plane again, and they'll take it.
Yeah, but that's crazy.
Well, it's crazy. You see, it wasn't so crazy. We had four planes hijacked inside of an hour. I understand.
Correct.
That was okay to be afraid then. Then we got all the security in place, and I realize it's not as good as some people wanted, etc. But it, like you say, it got to be pretty damn safe. Now we had a plane crash. It's a tragic, horrific thing. I feel for every person who is related or a friend to everyone on that plane. But we have had planes crash before. Now, this is undeniable. We have had planes crash before, and I haven't heard too many people say, that's it, I'm done flying, I will never fly. Although, speaking of the train, when you ride on the train, you meet a lot of people that used to fly and won't fly again. You meet a lot of people that are afraid of flying. I met a guy, he was a police chief. He was a police chief from some little small town in Northern California. Very nice guy. We were talking, and he said, I was in a plane crash. I said, what kind? He says, a small plane crash in Northern California. The plane went down. He says, that was it for me. That's the last time I ever set foot on an airplane. I won't do it. I said, you know what, man? I understand. I can dig that. That guy, I think, he was in the bloody plane when it crashed, you know. But to watch and to get completely twisted into knots by these idiots on television with their speculation about terrorists this and what happened and how did it happen. And I heard it, you know, I mean, I can't even begin to recount the number of times I heard people in their rush to panic this morning, either on Fox or CNN, desperately, desperately try to turn this into a terrorist event. I mean, what's her face? Paula Zahn was falling all over herself, desperately trying to get somebody to say the words terrorist attack. Man, it would have made her day. It would have made her career. Because if they'd said that, then she wouldn't have sounded like such an idiot. Yeah, watching that and getting yourself tied into 58 different knots, brother, then you know what? You're just a nervous flyer. And I can dig it. Don't fly. And especially, please, don't fly in any plane that I'm on. All right, because I really don't want to sit next to you while you're gripping the seat and asking me about God and, you know, like the guy that was sitting next to me one time who was afraid of flying going, look at all them clouds, it makes you believe in God, don't it? No, it doesn't. I always love to do that when I'm sitting next to somebody who's afraid of flying. I'll generally say something like, you know, as we're landing, I just wanted you to know something.
What's that?
I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God, and I, you know, and I'm a sinner. I'm a bad man. And they just, why are you talking like that? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So here's a really weird conversation Craig and I were just having about mortality and all kinds of stuff that, you know, he was reminding me of something that happened early in my life. You know, a dear friend of mine, way many years ago, died in a construction accident. So we're talking about this mortality thing. I said, isn't it true that people who live the longest are the most selfish, the most disagreeable jackasses in the world? So, you know, all those people that the Willard Scott shows on the Today Show? And here, look at this. Mary Brown, she's 108 today, and a real asshole. I think that would be awesome if he'd just say that. because you don't get to be that old without being selfish and persnickety and only caring about yourself. She's 108, and her friends and her neighbors, everybody says she's a real pain in the ass. All right, 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Hendry Show. And here is Pete. Hi, Pete. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi. You know, you were speaking earlier about the reporters trying to either put a slant on or looking for some kind of terrorist slant. But I heard earlier today, Peter Jennings, whom I don't have any, I don't care one way or the other whether he's a good reporter or a bad reporter, but he asked an eyewitness, you saw the explosion of the plane? And she said, yeah, we were looking across the lake at it. And he said, well, from your perspective, which side was the explosion on? She said, well, from my perspective, the right side. It looked like it happened around the engine. He said, are you sure it didn't happen closer to the fuselage, near the baggage compartment? She said, well, it might have. Then he said, hung up on her, and he said, well, now everybody else said it came from the left side. Now, I don't know enough about it now to know one way or the other, but I know if you ask me from my perspective and I'm facing the plane, it might be right. Now, from the pilot's perspective, it might be left. So, he took the whole thing out of context and then also tried to slant her conversation.
Yeah, that it blew up near the fuselage, right.
Right.
Exactly. I heard this, Paula Zahn on CNN. She says, three people said they saw a fire. So, with the explosion, so she went from fire to explosion. How'd you do that? They said they saw a fire. They didn't say they saw an explosion. Some people said they saw a flame. One of the brightest things I heard was an NTSB guy was on. He said, look, you know, first of all due respect to eyewitnesses, the mind fills in what it wants to see sometimes, not what it's seeing. Sometimes the mind cannot even comprehend what it's seeing. So it just sort of fills stuff in. So an eyewitness, especially when you got 4, 5, 6, or 7 eyewitnesses, you're going to hear a lot of different things. And that for every 7 people they talked to about this thing, they heard 7 different things. Are you sure it wasn't closer to the fuselage? That way, if there was an explosion, that means it came from the baggage compartment, and now we got ourselves a real rock and roll terrorist incident. But if you're telling me it was just the engine, well, that's kind of boring. I'm Peter Jennings. So one of the great things about what we've seen, and I say great, I put that in context of all the horror that we've seen over the last two, three months, is that you're able to take a look at how news is reported. Look, I'm not singling out CNN. I don't want to single out Fox News. I'm sure there's some very fine, solid professionals. I like that one lady on Fox in the morning, Linda Vester. I'm getting to know them all. Before September 11th, I spent about 2 minutes a year watching the news. I didn't know any of these people existed. I've been more than that Shepard Smith thing went down at the election in Florida back in 2000, the presidential election. I don't know who the hell they were talking about. Shepard who? Shepherd's pie? Who's that, his wife? So anyway, yeah, so this guy, man, forget it. Just got to keep your eyes open, your ears open, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars until you find the one you want. I'm Casey Kasem. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, I thought that bit with what's his face was great with Ted Bell, except I had to laugh in the middle of it. But I really think that whole bend over and pick up a quarter is the way to do the whole searches at the airport with your pants off. Come on, Phil Hendry Show.